The dark forces. Are you? My voice is shaky. His eyes widen with the mention of our secret branch, and his jaw sets with animosity. Bradshaw's muscles flex, and his astonishment quickly turns into anger. You're the fucking bunny being assigned to our squad. Oh, fuck me. 4. Nell. Bunny. They fucking call me Bunny. It better not be my code name for the squad, or I swear to God, I let out a scream into my pillow and punch the sheets. After Bradshaw realized who I was, we stopped talking and he left abruptly. I proceeded to my room, where I am now freaking the fuck out. God damn it! God damn it! My words fill the dark hotel room. I lie back on the bedsheets we just fucked on and spread my arms out, exhausted with the day and dreading meeting the new squad more than I already was. I put my bulky headphones on and blare Forget Me Too by MGK with a scowl firmly planted on my face until I eventually pass out. My blood is thick with anxiety as I step off the bus and onto military grounds with only my small bag of personal items glued to my side. I hold it firmly beneath my arm as a sort of security blanket. Jenkins always told me I had small bad habits, the bag under my arm being one of them, the hope I had in my eyes being another, though I don't have that problem anymore. That died many, many years ago. This is fine. I'm fine. I take a grounding breath. I just hope that Bradshaw isn't on my immediate squad. There are 3 squads in our underground branch, after all. Malum, Riot, and Hades. My squad was the only one stationed on the East Coast. Hades and Malum are both located here, as they work closer together. But based on how he reacted last night to who I was, the odds aren't in my favor. Worst case scenario, he's the sergeant or something. There's absolutely no way he's my partner, Bones. The dread inside me only sinks further as I step foot into the cement fortress. The buildings on this space are all a mundane gray. The lawn is cut short and neat. Men run in groups around a fence track for their morning exercise, and I can instantly feel several sets of eyes on me. Judging, I'm sure. Time to set in the cold bitch face that Jenkins taught me. He made sure I knew how to survive in this male-dominated world.
Otherwise, you'd be eaten alive, he told me.
I only wish he had taught me something in case I accidentally slept with one of my squad mates unknowingly. Now that would have been useful. I take a deep breath and keep my eyes straight ahead. My legs move in a steady beat, almost a march. I ignore the looks and demeaning whispers that are huffed out under disapproving breaths. It's difficult sometimes to remember that most of these men aren't aware the dark forces even exist. I mean, it was only formed around 20 years ago with the rise of organized terrorism and black market dealings that the government didn't want their name attached to. Private sectors were formed to keep everything and everyone blissfully ignorant of the darkness that truly unfolds in this world. Sometimes we do morally corrupt things, like taking out scientists in other countries that are working on new methods of curing diseases. But we aren't here to question the missions. We just have to execute them. Follow orders. I've come to the conclusion that we aren't the good guys. Hence why we're under the rug. Getting angry will only fuel their taunts, I remind myself. Show them you're worthy of their respect. Jenkins told me this every time he found me crying in secret during my first few years. I'd never had such tender hands wipe away my tears before. He would sit beside me and wait until I calmed. Then he'd tell me to show my comrades I deserved to be here as much as they did. It's harder to hold on to those words as I enter the small war room with my new squad waiting for me like a den of snakes. They're all here already. They lift their heads and give me nothing less than harrowing scowls. There are six of them in total. I instantly recognize Aaron standing at the head of the room. His expression is the only one that has a bit of pity for me. But there's also a distinct sharpness there, too. Shit. That means Bradshaw told him everything. I sweep the room, not seeing Bradshaw's face. I almost relax, thinking that I've evaded the worst possible outcome, before my eyes land on one man who's wearing a black fabric mask over the bottom half of his face. Only his pale blue eyes, black hair, and scars are visible. I could die right now from the anxiety coiling inside my stomach. No one mutters a word. The room feels 10 degrees warmer than I'm sure it is as I awkwardly take the only open seat, right next to Bradshaw. I pull my arms in tight against my chest, trying to avoid touching him. I swallow the shame that burns my throat. Why couldn't he have been someone else? Anyone else? Aaron moves toward the door and shuts it before addressing all of us.
Malum Squad, meet our new recruit, Private Gallows, originally from Riot Squad.
Malum. I had to look it up the first time I'd heard of them. When I was assigned to Riot at the start of my military sentence, I didn't know there were two other Dark Forces squads that were just as lethal as we were. Hades, the hounds they sent to wreak havoc. Riot, the executors of traitors. And Malum, the evil, the squad that goes where no one else can or is qualified to go, to snuff out the enemy quietly like ghosts in the darkness of night. Most of their missions are with secret organizations in remote locations, busting black market weapons merchants or huge drug dealers that have integrated into society behind the facade of commercial retailers. I straighten and keep my expression schooled into the hard, emotionless appearance that's required to be sitting here in this room. They all give me bone-chilling stares. Bradshaw doesn't even bother glancing my way. His arms are tightly crossed around his chest. Anger swells inside my lungs, but I keep it tamed. Show them I deserve to be here.
I'm honored to be here, sir, I respond with a sharp tone. Aaron smirks at me.
We all go by code names here, so I'll only tell you your comrades' names once. You'll be good to remember them and protect them with your life, Private Gallows.
I give him a curt nod, my lips pressed firmly. Starting with the guy on my right, he points to them and goes down the line.
Jefferson, Pete, Ian, and Harrison.
He skips Bradshaw, and for a moment I think it's because he knows I already met him.
Their corresponding code names are Jobs, Badger, Colt, Wasp, and Bones. My code name is just Sergeant.
Bones. My eyes widen, and that pit in my stomach sinks further with the confirmation of the worst-case scenario. Please, God, tell me I didn't fuck the Bones, the Dark Ops guy who was rumored to be a death god. I once heard that he tore a soldier's arm off and used the broken humerus bone as a spear as he shoved it down another's throat. Not even his squad is supposed to know his identity. The same guy that I'm charged with being the direct second to. His partner in the trenches. That guy.
And your code name is Bunny,
Aaron says with a dark tone that sets my lungs ablaze. The corners of his lips twitch, suppressing a wry smile. I look up at him sharply and glare. I'm sorry, sir. That's unacceptable. The men all burst into laughter, except Bones, clearly not finding anything about this situation funny. He sits with his arms firmly crossed, refusing to look at me. His black compression long-sleeve shirt is tight against his skin, making those memorable muscles stand out. Aaron levels me a cruel grin.
Your squad chose your code name for you, Bunny. Are you implying that they aren't worthy to name their newest squad mate?
My teeth bore a hole into the side of my cheek, and blood blooms across my tongue. I can't decline it. Of course they would do this to me. I'm not surprised, but it still stings my pride. Even Riot called me Gallows. They found my name to fit my personality in ruthless executions. With a deep breath, I force a hard smile.
No, sir. Bunny is adequate.
God, those words are physically painful to say. The men roar with laughter once more, and I have to bury my nails into my palm to keep from losing my shit. It's 10,000 times worse than being laughed at by 18 and 19-year-old comrades. I wasn't as tough back then as I am now. These men are full-grown assholes. Early 30s, maybe mid to late 20s like me, and they still act like pricks. They can make fun of me all they'd like. It's me who's going to be saving their asses in the field. If they want to call me Bunny, then I'll be the most vicious little creature they've ever crossed.
Aw, she's so cute, guys,
Pete says in a condescending voice. There isn't a hint of jovial lightheartedness in those dark brown eyes of his. Jefferson tilts his head at me and scowls.
I don't even think she's cute. Riot Squad must have been blind, he remarks as he nudges Pete with his elbow.
I stand abruptly and slam my hands on the table. That gets their attention. They shut up and stare at me with hatred.
Don't talk about my squad, I threaten Jefferson.
He sits tall in his seat, with short, light brown hair that's slicked back. He narrows his eyes at me, clearly not caring about my fair warning, as he snaps back,
X-Squad, Bunny. They're all dead.
I lunge at him to, I don't know, hit him or something irrational, but Bones grabs my wrist tightly and whistles.
Whoa, Bunny. You'll only excite us if you get physical.
I whirl on him and tear my arm from his hold, glaring daggers into his eyes. His brow raises with mild amusement.
That's enough. Bunny, sit,
Aaron commands, opening up his black folder and organizing some pages for the briefing. Reluctantly, I sit down and only look at the front of the room. This has already turned into the shithole I knew it would be. Bradshaw lets out a long breath. Harrison and Ian talk in a hushed tone, throwing me glares frequently. I hear my squad's name a few more times in their exchange. I dig my nails into the leather arms of my chair. Assholes.
You guys know the drill. When a new squad member joins the team, we take an extended training to bond and make sure they are a good fit. The last thing we want is a mission to go upside down due to lack of trust and skill set. Bunny was primarily the sniper on Riot Squad, but we'll need to see how her long distance and close combat skills work with us. But Sarge, you said we don't have a choice. Pete,
Bradshaw snaps and levels him a glare. Aaron gives Pete a pointed look before continuing.
Yeah, we technically don't have a choice in whether or not she will fit with the team the way we want. But should she, say, throw in the towel?
His voice is thick with intent.
Well, we just don't have control of that now, do we?
All heads in the room turn to me while I look hopelessly at Aaron, who I thought was someone I could partially count on, but apparently not.
What does it take to get a bunny to quit? Ian taunts. A big fucking carrot, Harrison says with a nasty grin pulling at the corner of his mouth.
Bradshaw grunts beside me like he's trying to contain his laugh. Anger thrums through my veins like fire.
Wait. So instead of accepting me as one of your own, you're going to try and bully me to quit? Because I'm a former riot soldier? What the fuck is wrong with you?
My voice is lead.
What's wrong with us? You were the sole survivor while your entire team perished. What does that say about you?
Jefferson leans over the table and sneers at me.
My blood chills because he's right. And he's not the only person who's told me that either.
The only good riot soldier is a dead one,
Bradshaw says smoothly. Like it's his fucking slogan to live by. His eyes fill with pleasure the angrier I get. I shove him out of his seat and his ass hits the ground. He's back on his feet in a heartbeat and grabs my shoulders with a vice grip.
That's enough, everyone. I don't want to hear any more trash talk. I've already told you I don't want to see any foul play out there in the training mission. I just want you to not hold back.
Aaron moves his eyes to me and his brother, pinning us with a glare.
You too, Bunny. I want to see everything you've got.
Bradshaw's hold on me loosens and he sits down with force like a goddamn child. I stare at Aaron for a beat, trying to get a read on him, but his features are stone. I reluctantly nod and fist my hands tightly under the table.
Any questions before dismissal?
Aaron looks us over, and when no one else seems to have any, I speak up.
What's the mission that's so important the general sent me?
There are hundreds of other squadless soldiers in the dark forces that are just waiting for positions like these to pop up. They're already replacing Riot with some new squad, so why not someone else? Why me? Aaron's brow twitches as he closes the folder on the desk.
You won't get the details until we confirm you're staying on the squad, Bunny.
I raise a brow and glance at the others. They don't question their sergeant's authority at all.
Yeah, because that makes sense, I grumble, but it's ignored.
Aaron slaps his hands together.
All right, squad, hit the showers and show Bunny the barracks. We'll meet at 1400 at the chopper pickup on the north end of base. Have your bags packed and get ready for a hell of a month.
They all salute him and stand in unison.
Yes, sergeant.
An entire month in the training field is going to suck. But I try my best to stay positive. I give Bones a hesitant look, wondering if we'll be able to break past our awkward circumstances. In all honesty, it's not like I haven't had sex with other comrades. If he's worried that I know his identity, maybe I should try talking it out with him. I mull it over as the squad files out of the war room. The twins share an uncertain look between them before Bradshaw walks out. I stop beside Aaron. He's easier to talk to, so maybe I should try to explain things to him first.
Sarge, I apologize about yesterday. I didn't know...
He cuts me off sharply.
Bunny, I trust that you will keep yesterday's events to yourself entirely. Not a peep unless you want to be shipped out within the next hour.
Aaron's voice drips with disdain, though it's much softer than the other guy's. I nod and look away pointedly before following my new squad through the cement jungle. This is panning out to be way bleaker than I expected. I thought they might at least have a little sympathy for me for losing my comrades, but that's a hard no. They blame me, and by the sound of it, they're going to do everything in their power to get me to quit. If I'm anything, it's stubborn. General Nolan assigned me to Malum for a reason, and the concern on his face while telling me I was being reassigned tells me it has a connection to what happened in Patagonia. I have to stay no matter what. I won't let Malum scare me off. I have a fucking job to do, and I'll be damned if I don't see it through. I need to avenge my squad and bring down the enemy. By the end of our training trial in California, I'll have Malum's respect. I take a deep breath and focus ahead where my squad mates walk steadily. They know each other more than anyone, but that's about to change. I doubt they know my brain is one of my strongest attributes. Cataloging brilliance, Jenkins called it. Jefferson is the tallest of Malum. Code name, Jobs. I try to go through my motions of memorizing them so I can start the internal profiles I keep of every squadmate I've had. It also might be a temporary reprieve from stressing about my situation. We start training tonight, and I need to have each of them down before then. Jefferson has short, light brown hair, dark brown eyes, and sun-kissed skin. He looks like he's in his late 20s and has a scar shaped like a bullet hole on the back of his neck. Scars can be weak points. If I find myself in close combat with him, I'll make sure to dig my knuckle into it. As I'm walking behind them, analyzing, I can't help but notice one studying me in return. I look to my left and find Pete's brown eyes intently on me. His code name is Badger. Of all the men on my team, his eyes are the least judgy. There's a curiosity to them rather than distrust. He's taller than me, but shorter than Bradshaw. His skin is darker than mine, and his black hair is short like Jefferson's.
Bunny,
he says in greeting. His tone is void of sarcasm, which I am immensely grateful for at the moment. Badger, I reply just as curtly, and he flashes a tight grin at me.
You're quick with names, he muses.
I don't return the smile. Jenkins's first rule? No emotions, no weakness. Not when you're on duty. I'm going to know everything about you inside and out before your head hits the ground tonight. My voice is smooth, but ill-willed. I'm not going to just forget how big of an asshole he was 2 minutes ago. His smile vanishes and a flicker of uncertainty flashes across his gaze.
Same, he stammers before redirecting. You know you're dead, right? If you don't quit willingly, I think Bones just might kill you.
I set my eyes on the back of Bradshaw's head. He can try.
Trust me, he will. I hope it's gross, too. You know he has a collection of teeth, right?
I ignore his attempt to make me fear Bradshaw. Because I'm a riot? Pete's mouth molds into a sinister grin.
No shit. Your team is the reason we lost Achilles. You guys fucked us when you didn't show up at the checkpoint.
His voice is laced with anger and he shoulders me before walking ahead. I notice Bradshaw's shoulder flinch when he heard the name Achilles. The soldier I'm replacing.
Hey, don't bother talking to Bunny. She'll be on the first bus out before dawn,
Ian mutters to Pete as they walk side by side. Ignore it. Catalog, I order myself. Ian's code name is Colt. I narrow my eyes at him. He's the youngest of the group. His hair is an inch longer than Pete's, black and slicked back. His olive-toned skin is the same shade as mine, and he has a cocky smile that I want to put my fist in. I level him my most insidious stare. One that I hope tells him I'd kill him if ordered to. Because I would. I've done it countless times before, whether I knew a soldier or not.
She'll be crying like a fucking baby when we're done with her.
Ian winks at me. Bunnies will consume their own under stress, I say nonchalantly, and the five of them stop walking and look back at me, shocked. Even Bradshaw, this time, his eyes filled with fury.
What the fuck did you just say?
Harrison barks, disgust muddled in his voice. Code name? Wasp. His hair is blonde, and he has pale skin that's been tanned by the sun. His hair is short, and he has a straight nose that has yet to be broken. Yet. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you hard of hearing? I said bunnies will eat their own under stress. I raise my voice, drawing eyes from other groups of men. My squad's earlier amusement in me seems to have been properly snuffed out. Their disturbed expressions are better than the sneering ones, at least. They know as well as I do that Riot specialized in tracking and killing traitors in the armed forces. Sometimes, even Dark Forces soldiers we worked with, if their name ended up on Jenkins's receiver. A black bullet always indicated it was from a Riot's weapon. If you were shot with a black bullet, you were dead.
Jesus Christ, Ian mumbles.
Jefferson looks at Bradshaw like he wants him to do something about it, then glares back at me.
Great. Our psychopath meets his match and now our lives are in their twisted hands.
Make sure to remember that when I'm putting a 3-inch bullet through an enemy's eye socket for your sorry ass jobs. My voice is filled with loathing. I strut past all five of them with my bag slung over my shoulder as I make straight for the showers ahead. Their brows are heavy with irritation, frowns pulling at each of their lips. Especially Bradshaw. The fact that his mask can't hide his glower is chilling. He looks at me as if I'm gutter trash that swept in during a storm. It stings my ego. But I banish all the thoughts of him looking tenderly at me last night. The second I'm alone in the women's showers, I let out an exasperated breath and look at myself in the mirror with dull eyes. How am I going to make it out of this alive? 5. Nell. 5 years ago. My bruised leg and torn-up feet burn as I lower them into the hot spring. The rest of Riot went the remaining few miles to get back to base, but I can't handle another elbow to my ribs or one of them tripping me and laughing about it. I blow out a long breath before letting the rest of my body sink into the warm water. My eyes close, and for the first time in months, I have a sliver of peace.
Private Gallows, did I excuse you from formation?
And the peace is gone. I jolt and straighten at the sound of Sergeant Jenkins's voice. He's standing on the rocks lining the edge across from me and has a full view of my naked body. My arms go to my chest and my cheeks burn. His face is stone like it always is. His blonde hair is fade-cut on the sides and longer at the top, swept to the side perfectly. His sharp cheekbones and jawline make him intimidating. But tonight, I find his dark eyes a little softer than usual. Sorry, Sergeant Jenkins. I stand and turn to grab my clothes. How could I be so fucking stupid? Of course he'd notice if I slipped away from the squad.
Gallows.
His voice is stern. I flinch and stop reaching for my shirt. Yes, Sarge?
I didn't say you had to leave.
My eyes widen at his soft tone, and I look over my shoulder at him. His brows lift slightly, and the first smile I've ever seen from him curls the edges of his lips. My whole world ends with that smile. I know I'll never endure one quite like it again.
Please, by all means, resume,
he says as he slowly takes off his jacket and hangs it on a branch. I slowly let my body sink back into the water and watch him curiously as he sheds every article of clothing. I avert my eyes when his boxers drop to the ground and don't look back at him until I hear the water break. He lets out a low sigh as the steam curls around him. He's sitting directly across from me, and when his lovely eyes crack open, I don't look away.
You don't have to be so formal, so feel free to be yourself, Gallows.
The way he's talking makes my chest hurt, like he's tired of people being so stiff around him. But what does he expect? He's ruthless. We've all seen him kill. The first time I witnessed him gouge a soldier's eyes out haunted my dreams for weeks. Jenkins always prefers to use his ebony knife if he can. He loves the intimacy of it. I nod, but don't offer anything for conversation. His eyes are heavy, but he stares at me. My heart rate spikes when he starts to wade over to me.
Are they still giving you trouble?
I clench my jaw when his hand finds my knee, and he pulls my leg up enough to examine it. The bruises and cuts are evident of either me being the clumsiest person alive or them pushing me to the ground. Jenkins knows better, so there's no sense in lying. Yeah, they are. I won't meet his gaze. He hums in thought.
I know you're the one that killed Bartlett.
My blood chills, and my eyes snap to his nearly black ones. He knows.
I know that Bartlett was an asshole. He was next on my list of traitors.
But I killed him without orders. Oh, God. Fuck. He knows now how fucked up I am. Sweat rolls down my temple. Sarge, I...
Jenkins. Call me Jenkins when it's just us.
His eyes hold me captive. A dark light flickers through them. Jenkins? Please don't report me to the general. I'll never earn my cards if I'm found to be insubordinate. That's all any of us want. Our cards, so we can go back to society. It's the only ticket out of the dark forces.
Report you? No, Gallows. I want to take you under my wing.
My eyes widen as he grips my chin gently, tilting my face up so I can look into his dark eyes.
I'm going to help you bloom into the monster you truly are.
A monster? Why? He moves his hand to my cheek and brushes his thumb gently across it.
Because you're just like me. I also happen to like you, Gallows.
That's the second compliment he's ever given me. My heart thumps wildly inside its cage. We stare at each other for a moment, the warm water soothing my entire body and making me want to melt in his arms. I shouldn't want to be held by a murderous thing like him, but I do. I crave it like a shot of morphine. Jenkins's eyes lower to my lips, lifting back to my eyes slowly before he leans in and kisses me. The world ceases to exist as the man I fear most adorns me with kisses and his dark dreams for us. I knew it then. Jenkins would ruin what good was left of me. 6. Nell. I wait patiently outside the men's showers until my squad reappears. Bradshaw isn't among them, and they seem to catch my wandering eyes.
Bone shower separately. None of us are allowed to know what he looks like, so if you're gonna fuck any of us, it can't be him. Unless you're into mask shit, Harrison says snidely.
I don't bother responding to his goading.
I am indeed into that.
Pete and Ian laugh cruelly as they throw their towels at me. I step aside and let the towels fall to the floor. I remain quiet as they lead the way back to our barracks. The dorms are in their own section of the building, down a long hall with other squad rooms, though the underground squads are supposed to room on the lower floor. Sure, normal units see us around, but they have no clue the Dark Forces exist. They think we're just special ops. We are required to room in different halls to keep the chances of discovery low. So my curiosity peaks when they open one of the doors on this floor. Our room is a small cement chamber with three twin beds only a few feet from each other. A barred window sits at the far wall. It feels like a big jail cell. Great. At least we'll be heading into the field for a while, and we won't be cooped up together like hens. I'd rather sleep in the dirt and bushes than in this tight room. I get it, though. Tight groups make for a trusting team and efficient missions. But there is a fatal flaw to that. My eyes linger on the bed at the end, above Bradshaw's bunk. It's empty for a reason. They had to recruit me to replace the guy Pete mentioned, and I'd bet he wasn't just another squad mate. Achilles. He was probably a brother to all of these men. But he was second to Bradshaw. The two of them must have been close. The loss was probably a devastation to the squad, but catastrophic to him. And they blame the riot squad. My legs don't allow me to approach the bed. An ache resides deep inside my chest. I'm no stranger to losing a partner in this hell. Losing a fellow certified killing machine is not easy. It hurts like a gaping wound that will not heal. No matter what you try to fill it with, it remains cancerous and starved for grief. I think of Jenkins's icy blonde hair, the dark brown of his eyes. How I'll never see him watching me from across a room ever again. 2 years is not enough to forget him. No amount of time can erase his face from my mind. I was his second. It should have been me who died, not him. I close my eyes and think of his last words.
I love you, Gallows. Leave me behind.
I loved him too. And I let him down in the end. I want to be dead alongside him. I fist my hands at my sides. Pete comes up behind me and nudges my shoulder, startling me from my thoughts.
You're at the end. Top bunk.
I nod and hesitantly walk to the back of the room. Bones isn't back yet from wherever he showers, so I don't waste time tossing my bag to the top bunk. We each have a small dresser at the foot of our beds with our names labeled. I frown at my drawer. The label reads Bunny, and there are kids' stickers of bunnies placed around the name. I take another deep breath and ignore it before opening my drawer, pulling out a black uniform. We're a dark ops team, so we don't wear the typical gear the other branches do. Ours are entirely black and matte, non-light reflective, and a shade darker than any black you've ever seen. We'll be damn near invisible tonight, and part of me rejoices in that thought. I haven't been in the field for a while. I miss the hum of unknown territory and the adrenaline rush of being in action. My pants hit the floor, and the four men watch me unabashedly and with a fraction less of disdain as I get dressed. It's nothing I'm not used to. As long as they don't touch me, we won't have a problem. They talk amongst themselves like I don't exist.
I can't believe General Nolan chose her for the replacement, Ian retorts as he pulls on his field gear. Harrison nods, gives me a dirty side glance, though his eyes linger on my breasts. Jefferson smooths his hand over his light brown hair and laughs.
Part of me thinks it's a fucking joke.
Pete has his back to me as he mutters,
"Well, at least she's nice to look at."
My cheeks heat with rage as the four of them lift their heads and steal another look at me. Ian laughs and gives me a nasty smile.
"Yeah, she's got a pretty mouth, doesn't she?"
I can see the thoughts sifting through their heads. "We'll bully her out by making sexual comments. Fuck you." I force a smile that physically hurts. "You have the prettiest mouth of all, Ian. Don't worry, your dick-sucking spot on the squad is safe." Harrison's hand flies to his mouth to muffle his laugh gasp. The others only give me cold stares. Jefferson opens his big fucking mouth to say something else, but Bradshaw opens the door and everyone falls quiet. It's good to know that he at least has respect amongst his comrades. They don't act the same when he's around. I force my eyes to the floor to avoid any more arguing with the men. If I want their respect, I'll have to make Bradshaw accept me first. God, that will be easier said than done. Bradshaw walks past me as I secure my bulletproof vest and tighten the straps. I take him in as he sits at the edge of his bed. He's wearing the same outfits we are, except his uniform neck rises high enough to meet the end of his mask. His ebony hair is covered with his slick black helmet. A small skull is painted on the bottom side, a glossy black that shines against the mat. He must feel my gaze, because those pale blue eyes lift to mine, his brows furrowed with annoyance. My instincts tell me to steer clear of him, but I know that won't work. We'll have to get along eventually, even if he is the world's biggest asshole. "I look forward to working with you, sir," I say with a manner of respect, though it tastes like poison coming out of my mouth. I just want to forget about last night and start this mission on the right terms. He doesn't let his eyes trail away from me as he says cruelly,
"I want you to quit, Bun."
My chest drops, and the other men stop talking as their attention is drawn to us. I can't hold back my offended scoff. That's not happening. Bradshaw stands and shoves me back by the shoulders. My ass presses against the cinder block wall, and heat spreads through my entire body like wildfire. "Stay calm. Stay calm. You can't punch your superior. Not on the first day. In the first hour."
"I don't want you as my second. None of us want you on the squad, Bunny. You couldn't even keep your prior first alive. What was his name? Jenkins?"
My heart stops, and he sees the anguish race across my features. His eyes flicker with regret for a second, but the resolve doesn't leave. He's standing over me, hands braced on either side of the wall, trying to make me feel small. Oh, fuck this. No one talks about Jenkins like that. "You don't want me on your squad because I won't die as easily as your last second. What was his name? Oh, I guess it wasn't worth remembering because I sure as fuck don't know it. At least you've heard of Jenkins." Bradshaw's pupils expand, and his face is horror-stricken for a millisecond before he controls the emotions. "Yeah, that didn't feel very good, did it, big guy?" I want to unsay the words the second they leave my mouth, but anger makes them stay. Bradshaw's eyes fill with hatred. He fists my vest and furiously slams my back against the wall. My head rocks back toward the cement, but instead of impacting on stone, it's cupped by Bradshaw's hand, his knuckles taking the brunt of it. The force shakes down a few of the framed awards from the wall and they crash around us. A few audible gasps sound from the opposite end of the room, but all I can focus on is Bradshaw. Even he's blurry through the brimming tears that I furiously blink away. Bradshaw's teeth are gritted together, keeping venomous words back, I'm sure. But it doesn't stop the force with which he holds me against the wall, keeping me pinned with pure rage. My airways strain at the pressure, and as my wits come back to me, my hand flies to his wrist. He doesn't let up. He only searches my eyes.
"You're as good as dead,"
he finally says darkly, a sinister promise. The others watch us with twisted expressions. Harrison has his hand extended toward us like he's going to interject, but he doesn't speak out against Bradshaw.
"Not if I let the enemy kill you first," I spit back at him.
Bradshaw's eyes widen with disbelief.
"I'll bet that's how your last second died, saving your ungrateful ass. If I die, it's because I'll be taking a bullet for you too, and that fucking sucks."
I lift my knee swiftly, intending to nail him in the balls, but he releases me quickly and steps back. His knuckles are bloody where he took the impact from the back of my head. There's a new flame in his cold eyes, and I know that this is going to be a long, long night. The chopper pickup is vacant with the exception of our small squad. The helicopter blades block out all other sound as it descends to the circular pad. The seven of us lower our heads and swiftly move into it, with nothing but our backpack strapped to our backs. Aaron takes up the rear and boards last. Bradshaw sits to my right side, while Jefferson is to my left. Pete, Harrison, and Ian sit across from us. We each wear muffled headgear so we can hear the instructions for our mock mission and training. Aaron stands in the center, holding a handle in the center of the helicopter ceiling and speaks loudly through his mic.
"Malum Squad, we've located a group of armed specialists for a level red operation. They've taken five hostages deep into the Rocky Mountains. Our mission is to find them, extract them safely, and return to the pickup location by 1700, exactly 3 weeks from today. I want you to take everything in this training seriously. That means if you get hit, you're out. Is that clear?"
"Yes, Sergeant,"
we all say in unison. He hands out our guns, loaded with dummy bullets that pop with a red dust substance upon impact. I don't think it's been approved for general military use yet. They like to have the dark forces practice with all the new equipment downstairs before handing them out to the people who matter upstairs. I take the sniper rifle from Aaron as he hands it to me. I'm used to handling them, and the weight doesn't bother me one bit. The others eye me distrustfully. Ian even looks a bit arrogant, hoping for me to fail once we get out there. Not only do I need to prove myself as a marksman, but I have to excel at the hand-to-hand combat, too. Please, God, don't let my sparring partner be Bradshaw when the time comes. I bring my eyes back to my feet, reminding myself not to let the others get to me. It's hard to be the black sheep of the group, especially after coming from my last squad. It took years to get their respect. I only have 1 month with Malum. My thoughts fade as I watch the others get their weapons. One of my specialties is, unfortunately, observation. I can break down a person's position and mannerisms in a matter of minutes. Though this squad is a bit harder to read than most, you can learn a great deal about a soldier based on the weapons handed to them. Jefferson and Pete both get machine guns and assault rifles. They are our fire team, the ones that have the heavy-duty weapons that can wipe out the enemy quickly and loudly. Bradshaw lifts his leg and bumps my knee. I glare at him, and he gives it right back. His hollow eyes pierce me and only fuel my hate fire. Focus on cataloging. Ian gets an assault rifle and a bag with radio equipment for airstrikes. He's the least armed and the one we need to rely on for communication. He is a signaler, but I already knew he was a dark Air Force member based on the raven wings tattooed on his neck. Harrison gets a grenade launcher. Obvious, the grenadier. Aaron is our sergeant, so he hangs on to an M16 and pistol, while Bradshaw is our close-range assassin. He gets a fake blade, edged with red for marking his false kills, and a silenced M16. I shut my eyes and let my mind sort out situations we might have. Assuming they'll be difficult to work with, based on their reluctance to my presence, I think through a few additional scenarios. Of course, nothing is set in stone until we get to the site and see what we have to work with. No one talks during the flight. We remain silent and on guard for any surprise emergency landings. After an hour, I finally let my mind slack off, and once I do, I become acutely aware of how close we're all packed in here. Bradshaw's thigh is pressed against mine, and his body heat leaks into me. A mixture of different emotions thrum through me. I'm torn between wanting to tear his head off and apologizing for the shit I said. Even though he started it, we aren't children. I should just apologize. I decide I'll do so once we're alone tonight. He takes a deep breath and lets his head fall back against the headrest. His hand is clenched over the fake blade, but it trembles like he's freezing. I frown and glance up at his face. His mask hides a lot of things. His lips and nose, the sharpness of his cheekbones. But it cannot hide the torment that racks through him. His brows are pulled in anguish, his dark lashes pressed firmly together, breath uneven. I look over our squad in the small chopper and find all their eyes are closed, trying to get rest before we land. Reluctantly and silently, I place my hand down on Bradshaw's trembling one. His eyes open instantly, and he straightens his back. I see many things in his eyes, loathing and distrust. But more than that, I see a weary, hurting man, very much unwilling to accept my comfort. He looks down at his hand clutching the blade like his life depends on it, and loosens his hold. The trembling stops, so I withdraw my hand. I honestly don't know what I was thinking, but I wasn't expecting him to stand up and move to the center of the chopper, preferring to hold the handle attached to the ceiling rather than sit beside me because I touched him. Bradshaw's eyes are shadowed as he stares at the floor, looking disgruntled by me. I can't fucking stand him. It's evident that he's the real MVP of the squad. The rest of us are expendable, and whether they want me here or not, I plan on executing my purpose flawlessly, because it's all I have left. My usefulness. I'll get revenge for you, Jenkins. This mission has something to do with Patagonia. I know it. I'll paint the sky red for Malum, even if I fucking hate them, as long as I get to stay on the squad. Aaron stands and signals all of us. We stand with our sergeant and get ready to dismount from the chopper. I stand right behind Bradshaw. The sniper rifle is strapped to my back, and I hold my pistol with both hands. I check it to ensure all the chambers are filled with the mock bullets. They're lined with streaks of red down the back to be easily identified. My thoughts hesitate on the fact that they aren't black, like they always were on the riot squad, before I blink away the memories. The moment the chopper hits the ground, we move rhythmically. Bradshaw leads the right-end exit while Aaron leads the left. I'm hot on Bradshaw's heels and do an initial area sweep before seeing the glint of a gun in the foliage. Raising my pistol, I pull the trigger as if it's as easy as breathing and fire into the brush. Bradshaw fires his M16 from my side. We're almost back to back. My instincts kick in and I spin, checking the far side where Aaron's team is. They stare at us, surprised that we discharged our dummy weapons already. I fire again, twice in the opposite direction, and then do a final sweep to be sure before straightening and using a silent hand gesture for clear. The whole squad looks aghast and stares at us like Bradshaw and me are measuring dicks. In all honesty, we might as well be. Not Aaron, though. His lips pull up at the corners as three men step out from the bushes. They're wearing camouflage and all have red powder on their foreheads and chests. Ian's and Harrison's jaws fall open. Jefferson's eyes narrow at me, but there's a new fragment of respect there now. Pete stares at me for a second before letting his eyes shift behind me to Bradshaw. I follow the motion, turning and finding his pale eyes boring holes into me. If I thought the loathing there was bad before, it's 10 times worse now. I deflate. What's it going to take to prove myself to him? I was the only one who was as keen on the enemy's presence as he was.
Let's move out. Bones, Bunny, you two take up the rear,
Aaron orders, and we follow without question. Bradshaw jerks his head to let me know to go ahead of him, and I don't argue. Ian walks in front of me. His helmet and gear make him almost indistinguishable from the others, but he has a tell in how he lets his foot drag for a fraction of a second before he lifts it. I occasionally get a glimpse of his neck tattoo when he scratches it. I take in our surroundings. The Rocky Mountains are a tough terrain, very telling for what the environment of the real mission will be like. The woods are thick here, with many sharp rock formations along hillsides and cliffs as we ascend to higher elevations. The cold mountain air is brisk, and the wind cuts straight through my gear, chilling me to the bone. We walk single file through the thick forest brush. It's darker beneath the canopy of branches, even though the sun hasn't quite set yet. It's cold and miserable. Hours of hiking and mostly silence. I'm acutely aware of each step Bradshaw takes behind me. The crunch of the earth beneath his boots. The calculating thoughts inside his mind. I know he's going to do something to get rid of me. The question is what it will be. Aaron sets a brutal pace and we don't slow until we reach a thick underbrush that leads back to a rocky cliffside. By the time we get there, my feet ache and it's pitch black with no moon. We are far away from any civilization.
Get comfortable, Malum. We're staying here tonight. I want team watch rotations. Myself and Harrison will take first watch. Stick to your partners. And Bunny?
I lift my head and meet Aaron's calm blue eyes.
Good job today. If this were real, you'd have saved our asses. It's clear to me why you are so revered.
He praises me, and it's the first time I've received acclaim from a sergeant so openly. My eyes are wide, and all I can muster is a curt nod. Aaron has the same gentle demeanor I sensed when we met on the plane. It makes me hopeful that I've grown a bit on his good side again. God, I wish it were him I'd brought back to the hotel instead of his psychotic twin. The rest of the squad gives me dark expressions, but none of them are as grim as Bradshaw's. He looks like he'd rather eat dirt than share a post with me. We get as comfortable as we can in the underbrush. Branches and insects make it difficult, but at least it isn't raining. It definitely could be worse. We're fortunate it's the middle of fall and not the dead of winter. We eat our MREs in silence and then break apart into our sleeping posts. My shoulders can't be the only ones that hurt after carrying a pack all day. Bradshaw is tight against my side, and I try as hard as I can to ignore his presence. Our altercation earlier comes back to me, and guilt tugs in the back of my mind. I know I shouldn't have said those things, no matter what he said to spur it on. It's eating away at me. Bones, I whisper. He doesn't respond right away. I wonder if he's sleeping already, but I doubt someone as traumatized as him can find rest so easily. God knows I can't.
What?
He says in a low, irritated voice.
I'm sorry what I said about Achilles. It was out of line.
The words hang between us and stretch the silence until I'm certain he won't reply. He shifts, and I turn my head enough to look at him. He rolled onto his other side to face away from me. My teeth gnash together, but I force the muscles in my jaw to relax. I knew I wasn't getting an apology back, but it still irks me. My head is heavy, and my thoughts falter before I eventually find sleep. A boot against my arm snaps me awake. I sit up quickly and blink up at Bradshaw. He doesn't look like he got a wink of sleep. Dark circles ring his lower lids. It's pitch black, and I can only make out his features with the lighter he holds near his face as he lights a cigarette. He lifts the bottom of his mask to take a puff before nodding toward the night watch post and waits while I stand and grab my rifle. Aaron and Harrison give us a once-over before making their way to their brush bedding. Too tired for words, I imagine, just as I am. I watch Aaron until his figure disappears into the dark. Dread swallows me whole as I sit down beside Bradshaw. The first 20 minutes pass slowly. The forest is loud with crickets and the sound of bats swooping between pine boughs. My eyes remain trained on the distant bush lines, waiting for any signs of movement.
I'm sorry.
He hadn't spoken for so long that his voice startles me. I stare at him blankly. Bradshaw doesn't glance at me as he speaks.
About Jenkins. I shouldn't have dragged his name through the mud.
His voice is low and husky. My eyes narrow with pain at the sound of Jenkins's name. A beat of awkward silence follows because I'm unsure what to say. But I finally decide to try to make peace with the devil, if he's willing. You know, he was the only reason I survived in the Dark Forces, I say. Voice raspy. I haven't talked about Jenkins out loud since he died. He lives solely in my mind. For some reason, it's easier to tell your secrets to people you don't know very well. Bradshaw turns his head in my direction and stares at me. For the first time, it's void of loathing. Instead, I find a subtle curiosity there. He was the only one who saw the real me and trained me to be like him. Bradshaw blinks slowly, and I spot a hint of a smirk from beneath his mask.
Was he the only one who knew you were a little reaper deep down?
His tone isn't cruel, but somehow it still stings. Is it that obvious? I force my eyes away and choose to ignore his comment. I shouldn't have told him I thought of myself as one. I wasn't a reaper yet. I was only 20. Stupid and emotional still. I think he saw bits of himself in me, and the hazing I endured was hard for him to watch without stepping in. I also killed a squad mate and made it look like an accident. I glance back at Bradshaw. His eyes are hollow. Patient, unfazed by my admittance. He helped me become a reaper because he liked that part of me. The part that killed against the rules.
You don't think he was just trying to fuck you?
A flash of heat spreads over my cheeks and my stomach twists with rage. Bradshaw lets a couple low chuckles reverberate through the air between us.
Oh, shit. You two did fuck, didn't you? Did you trick him like you tricked me?
The cold-hearted asshole is back. Or maybe he never left and he was only baiting me. What's your problem with me?
I ask, and try to keep the bite out of it. He gives me a stern look, those weary lines beneath his eyes pulling on my heart more than they should. You know, I was trying to hook up with Aaron, not you. I blow out a breath and let my muscles slack. I lean into the tree behind us. I just wanted one last night of fun, a small pleasure that I could indulge in before my last mission. His shoulders tense.
What do you mean, your last mission? Are you earning your cards out?
The curve of my lips makes his eyes harden. He thinks I'm even close to earning my cards to a new life. No, I just have a feeling it will be my last. We all eventually expire, don't we? I look away, but I can feel his heavy gaze burning into my skin.
Why?
Why what?
Why do you think it will be her last?
His voice is mundane, but pushy nonetheless. Should I tell him it's because I want it to be my last? Or because Malum goes on missions that most soldiers don't come back from? Like Achilles. Or should I tell him the truth? That I know with the mission at hand we'll be going after the asshole who caused Patagonia to go upside down. Sure, Malum blames Riot for their loss, and we blamed them back. But the real enemy is the third party that invaded our operation. I settle on shrugging. He stares at me for a few more minutes before dragging his eyes away from me. The hush around us digs into my skin. I'm glad he's not much for talking. 7. Nell. I lie on my stomach and look through my scope to the valley below. There's movement. I patiently wait, my camouflage cover heavy on my head. My neck started hurting 30 minutes ago, but I don't want to readjust in case I miss something critical. Bodies shift into view below, and I verify that it's the hostile squad. Four-armed men, I say in a low voice. Ian clicks on his radio and mutters the information and the coordinates to Aaron. We remain still until we hear back from him. The radio clicks, and Aaron's voice comes through with a small amount of static.
Stand down. We'll track them on foot tomorrow. Regroup at home base. Over.
The home base is made up of our shitty underbrush posts and a camouflage tent we were able to establish behind it. The first few days haven't been so bad, but the night watch sucks. I forgot how tired it makes you. Bradshaw hasn't uttered a word to me since our first night. It's awkward, but I think I like it better than the mean shit that comes out of his mouth. My legs ache, and my eyelids are heavy, but I can't let it affect my performance.
Fuck. All right, well, I guess we better head back then, Ian says.
His black hair is still slicked back neatly, regardless of the paint and mud on his face. His cheeks are covered in dirt, as are mine. I nod and start packing up my camouflage cover and unloading my sniper. He watches me in silence, and I prefer it. There hasn't been much team bonding so far, even though Aaron has strongly encouraged it. Everyone's been pretty quiet, and when there is connecting, it's between them, not me. Even Bradshaw seems more at ease when he's speaking with them, though he doesn't speak much at all to anyone. I found him sitting alone with his head hung low this morning, reading a book and leaning against a tree. Meanwhile, his brother is the complete opposite. Aaron smiles more than he doesn't, and makes it a point to speak with everyone a few times during the days. I haven't decided yet if it's a manipulation ploy or not. No one smiles that much. I've been able to piece together some things,